Thank you. For our pledge tonight, we're going to have our business representatives come forward. So Ed and Wendy Canfield from the Coffee Cottage are going to lead us in the pledge and then tell us about the Coffee Cottage.
What did you say?
Would you please repeat after me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, in which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And when all the dust settles, if you could tell us a little bit about the Coffee Cottage.
Sure. Well, thank you for inviting us tonight. We are the newest coffee house in Morro Bay. We are located at 845 Embarcadero, Suite I, right next to the Chamber of Commerce. We have all kinds of specialty coffees, any coffee you can think of, we make that. We also offer breakfast, pastries, baked local here. We also do lunch specials, homemade soups, salads, and we have the best view in town. So please come and join us, have a cup of coffee, relax, and from any window, inside or outside, you can see the bay. It's just a gorgeous spot.
And we had 159 full-paid registrants for the event. George Lepp did his talk here yesterday, which was fabulous. And the whole thing, the comments that we got from the participants were amazingly positive, especially for a first event, because you always expect to trip up a little. But it was very well received. Everybody said, when is it going to be next year? So I think we have a new annual event going to happen in Morro Bay. I also just wanted to thank a couple of people that were involved because they put in a lot of work. Don Beatty, Jerry Kirkart, Howard Ignatius, Gary Johnson, Mike Baird, and Linda Tanner, and for their incredible technical support, Bob Lloyd and Zeke, who's here tonight. They did a really good job, and with photographers, you can imagine how technical was important. So I just want to thank everybody involved with that. It was a wonderful event, and I think we're going to have a lot more people wanting to come next year. So that's my announcements. Betty?
Thank you. I have two announcements. One has to do with Wednesday, November 4th. There is going to be It's a unique educational event. It will begin at 3 o'clock with a Bay Tour hosted by Captain Dave Robinson. And then at 5:30 at the Morro Bay State Park Museum of Natural History, there'll be a presentation about marine debris by the Bayless's crew. That's the name of the boat that's coming in, the ship that's coming in. It's sponsored by Sea Life Conservation and Sea Studios. It's being sponsored by the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. All participants will receive a packet of information. I believe that it's free. If you want to attend, there is limited seating and reservations are necessary. So you would call Sherry Sullivan, who's at the NEP, whose phone number is 772-3834. And you need to do that by Thursday for the event next Wednesday if you want to attend this free educational program. The second announcement is about our joint powers agreement with Cayucas over our wastewater treatment plant. Our quarterly meeting is going to be November 5th. It will be, I assume, at the community center at 6 o'clock. That's the JPA. Rick?
Thank you. Good evening. Just a couple of things. If we can take we don't have a monitor going, do we? If we can get a shot of the box for the home audience that we're putting around in different locations. One is at the library, one is at the Vets Hall here now, that's this box, and then City Hall has one that's already almost full in the waiting room there at City Hall. So these are for the Prado Daycare Center, the homeless shelter, and there's a list of needed items on each box. And this is sponsored by the Rotary Club of Morro Bay, along with some help from some other folks. The 10-year plan to address homelessness had its second real meeting last Tuesday in San Luis, where we put together our ad hoc committees and put people in their different areas of responsibility. And we'll be hiring a head of this, a CEO of this organization, to start soliciting funds for building. We've looked at locations out by the San Luis Airport, and CAPSLO, the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo, agreed to act as the applicant for that. We had a $1.5 million private donation to the group, which to address SLO County homelessness. So that was huge. Down the street at the Men's Colony, we're going ahead with a $55 million acute psych unit that's going to take care of inmates at CMC and also from other institutions where it's deemed they need this type of acute psych intervention. The Thanksgiving dinner is coming up. Next month, we only have one more meeting before it happens. It'll be on Thanksgiving Day, the 26th. At our Morro Bay Community Center. This is like, I don't know, it must be about the 12th annual. We're going to be providing free transportation for you to get there. We're going to have entertainment. We're going to have a great dinner with all the trimmings. It'll be from 1 to 3 at the Community Center on Thanksgiving Day. So please mark that down and come join the community and have a real nice Thanksgiving dinner. And that's about it.
Okay. Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to extend an invitation to three events that we're working on coming up this weekend is the first of them. And you can see on the overhead there, it's the Jesse King Memorial Paddle Race, which is a concept that we've developed in the last couple of months, 3 months actually, which is celebrating the life of Jesse King, who is a member of the Harbor Department and really active with their junior lifeguard program. And the event itself is going to be a paddle for all watercraft, all human-powered watercraft, from the Cayucas Pier this Saturday, starting at 8:30. And it will be kicked off with a Buddhist monk energy drum. If the weather is spotty, which you never know at this time of year, we will we have developed a estuary-based paddle course, and we are going to have a free kids course there for beginners course to try. So you can see on the website there registration. If you're interested in paddling, we're inviting experienced paddlers for this open ocean paddle. You can call 995-1993 if you'd like some more information about it. And we're inviting everyone to come out and enjoy it. We're going to have food and music and a lot of fun. The other event, so that's this Saturday morning. The next event is a gray water and water conservation workshop that we're working with the Planning Department and Slow Green Build. And basically, the thrust of the workshop will be Slow Green Build presenting their new gray water guide, which is focused on San Luis Obispo County. It's been developed to try to highlight gray water opportunities and techniques that would be viable in the county. And we're going to be doing this workshop in conjunction with the Planning Department, highlighting some different things that would work really well in Morro Bay, discussing ideas and concepts that might not be as good of an idea. But basically, this is a really exciting opportunity to talk about some opportunities for water savings, even at a time where we have some really intense water conservation efforts going on. So the workshop will touch on water conservation, but will be focused on gray water. And we will have local contractors and professionals attending. We're encouraging professionals and the public alike to attend, but we'd like to have those professionals out there. So if you're interested in this sort of a project for your home or business, that you could actually come out and meet a couple that seem to be leading the field in gray water installation. So that event's going to be November 10th here at the Vets Hall. Doors will open at 5, and the event officially kicks off at 5:30, goes till about 7:30. And if you'd like some more information, you can go to the website slogreenbuild.org. So once again, that's November 10th here at the Vets Hall. And then our last event is actually a really fun one that has been coordinated by our Morro Bay Tree Committee, Morro Bay Beautiful, and our Rec and Parks Department. And it's an Arbor Day celebration event where we're going to be planting a California native forest at Lila Kaiser Park. And that's on November 15th. It is a Sunday. We have some pretty we're biting off a good-sized section of the park. It's the northern boundary of the parking lot there at Lila Kaiser that used to have pine trees that have since passed on. And we'd like to replant that area and one day show up with members of our tree committee who happen to be really experienced and qualified landscape professionals. So this event will be open to the public. Come out, bring a shovel. We're going to have different youth groups and community organizations there. I put up some of the posters in the back, which were generously and beautifully designed by the Morro Bay Kids Club, which different really beautiful drawings that have fun messages about why trees are important and the value of trees. This event is going to be the first of a few that the tree committee is working on, but the idea is with our professionals in the tree committee to make ourselves accessible to the public that have ideas or would like some more information about what they could do on their home property or business property and just really have a good time. So the event is going to be November 15th. We start at 10, but we're going to basically be going all day because it's a nice little swath of property that we're going to be working on. And when we finish, we hope to have a demonstration California native forest planted. Although small, it will grow. So if you would like some more information about that, you can call me directly at 772-7668.
Thank you. Carla?
Just a reminder that time changes on Sunday, so as everyone changes their clocks, please make sure to change your batteries in your smoke detector.
Okay. One other thing that I'd like to bring up to council before we go to public comment is I would like to switch the order of our public hearings. We have B1 is probably going to take quite a bit of discussion. B2 I don't think will take that much, and I would rather not have to have them wait through the longer discussion. Does anybody have any objection to that, either in the public or up here? Is that okay? All right, then that's how we will do it. We will run B2 right after our public comments, and then we'll run B1 right after that. Okay. Closed session report. Rob.
Good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, council met in closed session on two items, personnel issues, the annual evaluation of the city attorney and the city manager, and the other item discussed was real property transactions. The property discussed was 833 Embarcadero, which is a lease site with the parties being the city and Caldwell and or League. As to both of these items, no action was taken that requires reporting. The council will meet again in closed session after tonight's regular session to continue on the personnel issues, the evaluation of the city manager.
Okay, and our staff reports tonight, fire and
Overturned south of the South Jetty. His partner went to the phone at the South Jetty, was able to call 911, got dispatch, and had help respond over there. Coast Guard, Harbor, and Fire responded down and had to actually carry the gentleman from the beach. He was so hypothermic, he was out in the water for quite some time before he made it to shore. He did not improve much, and so was transported to the hospital. But all those agencies work very well together, both having fun and raising money, but also on actual incidents. A couple weeks ago, I just wanted to touch on the storm that went through here. I think council heard about a lot of the events, but I'm not sure if the community did. When the storm came through, we had quite a bit of rain and wind, 21 calls for service from the fire department. There were 4 power pole fires, 2 structure fires. One was caught just in time. A single room and contents was lost on that. Firefighters did a good job there. We did have one injury. The firefighter was back to work that night, so we're thankful for that. We also had a vehicle that was struck by a tree. They were driving through the state park. A tree came down, struck the vehicle, and crushed onto the person and did receive some injuries and was transported. So it was a very busy day for everybody. I want to remind everybody of the fire department open house on November 14th. Come by and see the firefighters, the equipment, the station. We'll be doing some demonstrations, some stop, drop, and roll, fire safety for the kids. And there will be some food to eat there as well, provided by friends of the fire department. I'm sorry. November 14th, 12 to 3, 3-hour open house, and that's Saturday. I wanted to give you an update on the fire station. The plans have been to plan check. They're out of plan check. They have their comments from our building department and our fire department. The architects are making the corrections, and those should be back to planning within the 30 days. we've submitted our environmental and historical documentation to FEMA for our fire station grant. And once they've approved of the environmental and historical documents, it looks like they will release some funds to the city at that time, and we can get moving. So it's quite an exciting time for us with that fire station construction project. Last thing I want to touch on, and Rick's wife, Claire, can correct me if I get anything wrong about H1N1. She's the expert on it. But H1N1 is moving quickly around the country, California, and in our county. They've seen a big spike in the number of cases. A lot of the high schools are seeing an increase in absenteeism. The thing we want to promote is prevention. So we want everybody just to keep doing good hygiene, wash your hands a lot during the day. If you go to the store and you push one of the carts, a lot of people have touched that, so go back and use a disinfectant on your hands. When you cough, cough into your elbow. We don't want you to be coughing on your hands and then touching something and passing it on. Probably the biggest thing is if you do get ill, if you have a fever 101 or greater, stay home. Don't go out and spread it around the community. Stay at home until that fever is broke without medication and it's been 24 hours since your fever has stopped. So let's try and not spread this any further than it's going to go, but we're seeing quite a few cases going through right now. And with that, I think I'll turn it over to police.
Okay, I'm going to add another comment to that, too. When you are at the supermarket, they all have those little wipes right inside the front door. So just pick one up and clean off the handlebar on the cart, and you'll be a lot better off. Okay.
Tim. Good evening, Madam Mayor, council members. I'm here on behalf of Chief John DeRohan, who we are hoping is not coming down with the swine flu, but he was not feeling well, so he had to go home early. As you know, one of our biggest challenges within the police department we're currently facing is staffing levels with the three open police officer positions we currently have. We've been working on several short-term solutions and have been engaged in discussions with the city manager regarding more long-term solutions. With the recent vacancies, our employees have really risen to the occasion and dealt head-on with the scheduling adjustments, increased overtime, working days off, and they are really to be commended for their hard work and dedication to the department and this community. We're currently exploring many options, including meeting with the Sheriff's Department to discuss possibility of short-term solutions with temporary staffing should we lose an additional officer. We first have a meeting scheduled with our own department members to get their input on what would be best for the department and the community of Morro Bay. Once we meet with our staff and obtain more information for the Sheriff's Department, we will be providing a staff report to council, outlining our staffing issues, short-term, long-term recommendations, and a recruitment update. Speaking of recruiting, we recently, as of just last Friday, threw an oral board together and a physical testing for academy graduates as well as laterals. We're very pleased that we had two candidates who successfully passed that. They came to a second interview today, and we, after the second interview, we're going to be starting background investigations on both of them. So for us to get two candidates out of that testing process.
Does that academy get out?
The academy has already graduated.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
He is currently graduated. So they can actually both start after they finish background. Then they have to go through the medical and psychological evaluation process. So we're looking at potentially late December, but with the holidays, it may be pushed into January where they would start the 14-week field training officer program.
Okay. Andrea, administration.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. I just have a couple of things. On Saturday, the harbor director and myself and two local fishermen, Bill Blue and Roger Cullen, got the chance to go up to Monterey. The city of Monterey hosted a meeting that featured Dr. Jane Lubchenco. She's the recent appointment from the Obama administration to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And she was particularly interested in the Central Coast Groundfish Project that was started here in Morro Bay that talks about changing fishing and changing some practices. So it was a great meeting, very interesting. She was quite interested in what Morro Bay had done and was hoping to perhaps replicate that in other places in the country. As well, the dredge, you'll be seeing equipment coming in for the dredge. Probably it will come in later, the end of this week or the beginning of next. I'm looking at Rick, hopefully, for a nod on that. And I will do a quick update on Chief Pond's presentation. I got a call late in the day from one of the firefighters that participated in the challenge, and they actually got an additional $1,000. So that is $4,500 to the Morro Bay Community Foundation. Just to remind you, that's the organization that Mr. Woods works with that provides scholarships to children. Last year, the foundation provided over $18,000 of scholarships to children in Morro Bay, Cayucos, and Los Osos. So the $4,500 is a huge step in the right direction. That's it for tonight. Thanks.
All right. We'll start our public comment. Could somebody just turn the light on in the lobby so that people coming in late know that it's over by the door? Thank you. Okay, we'll begin our public comment. Please come in to the podium and speak on something that's not on our public hearing agenda.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, council members, city staff, and fellow residents, as well as everyone who enjoys a festive 4th of July celebration. My name is Jeff Eccles. I own a business in town. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. My company is Eccles Wealth Management. Tonight I'm here to talk to you about Morro Bay 4th, a nonprofit group that was started after our last 4th of July to host the upcoming 4th of July celebration for the city. So as many of you know, in the past, the Chamber of Commerce has been responsible for hosting the 4th of July celebrations and coordinating those events. They've chosen no longer to host that event, and this group was created as a result of that. So I'm really excited to be heading up this group. We are a nonprofit. We already have our paperwork done. There are 13 of us on the board of directors. It's a combination of both residents as well as business owners, all of them very enthusiastic about a festive 4th of July celebration. On the board here, we've put up our mission statement. Morro Bay 4th Incorporated is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to celebrate Independence Day with a family-friendly, alcohol-free, traditional 4th of July picnic, celebration, and fireworks show in Morro Bay for our residents and visitors to enjoy. So I wanted to let you know that we are making progress. We'll be coming back to you over the next several months with updates. We're looking for volunteers. One of the things we'll be doing a great deal of is fundraising between now and next 4th of July. So all of you look forward to a big festive 4th of July next year. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good evening, Mayor, council members. The festivities continue. My name is Galen Ricard. I'm consulting with Cal Poly on a new event. And I'm with Madeline Dover, who is a member of one of the first fitness families in Morro Bay, the Dover family. She's also the PR and media coordinator for the event we'll be speaking about. She's an AmeriCorps Promise Fellow. And she's working with STRIDE, and that is also big news at Cal Poly. That's the university's new national health research program, which is expected to become a leading national center in research on topics related to health across the lifespan, including fitness, nutrition, and healthy weight. We're here to billboard a first-of-its-kind health event this weekend. It's Hands-on Health. This Friday, October 30th, and Saturday, October 31st. It's free, and it's open to the public. Friday is an all-day symposium, and it's primarily for educators, physicians, nurses, RNs, dietitians, pharmacists, wellness and fitness professionals, scientists, students, and interested public. Saturday will be a community festival of health. And then there is body mass index. We all hear about that. Why is that so important? That'll be discussed. There's something called prescription trails and walks. And that is, you know, walking for health. And again, that's how cities and communities get involved and show where the trails are that you can walk for health. It's free, and there's it's one of the best and freest and easiest ways to maintain our weight and health. Portion Size Me is another one that many people are looking forward to. The fellow who's talking on that, he had seen the Michael Moore movie. I think it was Michael Moore, Super Size Me. Did he do Super Size Me? This fellow countered with Portion Size Me that it's not fast food per se. Everything in moderation. Was that a red light? Okay. I'll let you talk a little bit about Saturday, Maddie.
Okay. Saturday is more of our family-friendly. We're trying to promote a healthy as well as a happy Halloween. And we'll have a costume dance, a fun run that all starts at about 8, the registration for both. And then also the live music by Big Daddy's Blues Band. So it's going to be a fun way to celebrate Halloween. I want to encourage everyone to go to stride.calpoly.edu because we have a really extensive schedule for both days. So we want to see, we want everyone to see what we have to offer. Also really important on Saturday is we're offering free health and dental screenings. So anyone that can get on campus can go through those free health screenings and they'll go away with a passport to health that they could bring to any medical professional with their numbers and something they can walk away with, especially for those without health insurance or health coverage. And I just wanted to say about the charity challenge, the Coast Guard put in a really good fight as well. So,
okay. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Peters, City Council, citizens of Morro Bay. My name is Susan Brown, manager at Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride, and I'm here to support transit tonight. What we're putting up is the unmet transit needs meeting is coming up in San Luis soon, and it is in San Luis Obispo, so sometimes people think it's for RTA only and that it's in San Luis, but it actually is going to benefit Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride riders, too. Some of the things that they say on their more extensive invitation to the unmet transit needs is, who is it for? Anyone who has suggestions to retain and enhance public transit services and this year bicycle facilities. So what a lot of people aren't aware of is that Morro Bay Transit, Dial-A-Ride, could be reduced again. On July 1st, we had to increase fares, we had to reduce down to where we don't have a Saturday, and we want to keep what we have. So if people want to keep what they have, they should come out to this meeting. There's other ways to attend besides in person. You can attend it with sending an email. The email address is, I think, on the bottom. Email, phone calls, all of those are the ways to make your voice heard. And we find that Morro Bay Transit actually is actually going to lose funding if we don't do something about it. It could actually lose days of service. So we're actually trying to be creative with keeping Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride going, and we're trying to come up with somewhat like a Friends of organization. Like you have Friends of the Fire, Friends of the Library. We need a Friends of Transit. So that's some ideas. We would like to hear other people's ideas of how to keep transit going at full steam. We've thought of mural painting. How about a mural? We've thought of getting corporate sponsors. We have Albertsons, the Cookie Crocs, Spencer's. These are all really beneficiaries of people that use Dial-A-Ride. So if someone has ideas, they can actually also call Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride, 772-2744. Give us your ideas. We really are passionate about keeping Dial-A-Ride going as much as it can. And what it's going to need is more funding. So help us out. And we're willing to pitch in and do volunteer work ourselves to keep it going. So any questions you have, call us. I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. My name is Kathy Novak. I'm the Vice Chair of the Central Coast Natural History Association. Sounds like we have a lot of competition for activities this Saturday. However, it's not too late to join us with the One-Eyed Skunk Golf Tournament. Yeah, there's a shotgun start at 8:30. We're going to have a lunch down in the parking lot down there at the marina at 1 o'clock. Lunch is $25.
Harbor. To put out scarecrows. You may have noticed them over the week. Each business has put out a scarecrow. It's a scarecrow competition. So we're asking local residents to come out, walk down Main Street, walk down Morro Bay Boulevard, and vote for your favorite scarecrow. There are no official prizes involved. It's just to have people come out and vote. Votes should be posted at Bohemian Candle, the candle shop on Harbor. In addition, so the scarecrow competition votes, the final votes can be cast, you have until Friday, end of the day Friday, this coming Friday. And on Saturday, Sam Prince is having an open house. There's a photo studio set up. Come in costume, kids in costume, and we'll do a portrait shot at a flat rate, $10. We're open all day from 10:30 to 4:30. And all stores, including Sam Prince, will be offering treats to families who would like to come and trick-or-treat on Main Street and down Morro Bay Boulevard. So we're just trying to create some Halloween spirit, holiday spirit, and becoming more involved with offering more activities for residents when they come down and shop locally. So please come down and see us. Thank you.
Great idea. Thank you.
My name's Phil Hill. I'm a Morro Bay resident and a slave to fashion. Last couple times I spoke here, I've been followed by Mr. Bill Martoni. He's gotten up here and he immediately starts in with, well, I don't know what he's been smoking. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell on myself. I'm an alcoholic and I'm a drug addict. And I have been for damn near all my life. And Bill knows that. He also knows that I've been sober for over 20 years. 23, to be precise. So he knows exactly what I've been smoking. Not a damn thing.
Okay, could we?
That's the first lie.
Words.
Okay, well.
Thank you.
All right. Anyway, so he knows what I have not been smoking. So I just want you to all know that. It's integral to my life that I have to be clean and sober, and I also have to follow guidelines, which include honesty. I would encourage the city council to get that dock out of there where the cannery's at. We got lucky this last storm. The tide wasn't high enough. The winds were strong enough. Last time when we had a little higher tide, that stuff was breaking loose. I would encourage the city to find someone to lease it to get it out of there, because we know that it's going to cost, if someone will rebuild it for us, we don't have to pay the $80,000, $80,000 to $120,000 that we're saddled with as a result of the Martoni and Pecorick. Pecorick's a pig. We don't want to be saddled with any more than we have to be, the money thing. So I think we need to get that solved, get rid of the dangerous dock, get a new tenant in there, and after we're going to take it for $80,000 to $120,000, I would never reward anybody that did anything like that with giving them the lease after it was torn out. They let the lease go. They made money off of it. They used it for play toy. Then they let us get saddled with it, and then they're going to want it back. And I just think that's really bad business. I don't appreciate the sense of entitlement that many of us people have. And I just like to see a little more humanity and common sense, and just to hell with arrogance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name is James Nisbet. I've lived in Morro Bay since 1946, and I've got a bitch with the Morro Bay Police Department. The other day, about 3 days ago, I was parked back in the back where nobody was around, and I happened to pull into the disabled parking area, not thinking that it was going to be used in the near future. And now, last thing I heard, they confiscated my van, put it in Chuck's Towing, and they want $150 to get it out. And so is this the standard fine for parking in a disabled parking area? I don't think so.
Thank you. We'll get a response to that later.
Hello, Mayor, City Council. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you about my opinions about the Frank Loving project, or the tugboat project, rehabilitating the dock back there.
If you're talking about the policy, that's going to be a public hearing item. Do you want to wait until then?
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Somebody lost an item back here. It's an ear clip.
Oh, somebody lost an earring back there? Check your ears, ladies. And guys.
Condition of the wharf, the pilings, and just to give everyone, the public, the update, it has been lucky it didn't fall in the bay last year. It's right on the edge of totally, the piles are rotting. It could go any time. The Coastal Commission actually gave a coastal waiver, very rare, because of the condition of the wharf. And I just wanted to bring it to your attention if you haven't seen it, and I'll read it to you. It just says, this is their staff report. Demolition and removal of the wharf structure is necessary to avoid complete failure of the derelict structure and the resultant discharge of wharf debris in the bay. This is what Phil Hill talked about. We're all aware it's in danger of collapsing. The structure was used for offloading of commercial fishing boats in conjunction with an oyster mariculture operation. That's what we're proposing is mariculture out there. So just to kind of correct that. Which ceased operation in the 70s. No public access exists to the wharf itself or in the location north or south of the wharf. Thus, demolition and removal of the wharf will not have any impact on public access or recreational opportunities at this location. Best management practices are proposed to avoid impacts to the Morro Bay estuary and its inhabitants during demolition. Removal of the creosote-infused pilings and substructures will further benefit water quality and the biological productivity of the bay. This is a creosote-toxic structure that needs to come down. I know I'm not talking about the zoning now, but I just wanted to let you know in the settlement agreement, when you sued us for 5 years to tear down the wharf, we finally, on the settlement agreement, we wrote a check. It's sitting there to assist. We disagreed on who was responsible. But in that settlement agreement, there is also that you were to indemnify us against our bulkhead, and that needs immediate attention. And if that wharf isn't removed, we have damage that's going to result to our bulkhead and our cannery building because of the undermining of our bulkhead that we cannot access because of the wharf. But just to put a broader picture on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, one more.
Good evening. My name is Jack McCurdy, Morro Bay resident. My comments are relevant to item D1. I want to congratulate the city manager for proposing to incorporate email notifications on the city website. As the report states, it will provide opportunities for the public to receive information from the city in a timely and convenient manner. It will enable citizens to sign up to receive email notification when certain information is posted on the website. It will reduce staff time associated with phone calls and inquiries about what's on an agenda. I regard this as a major breakthrough, and I want to congratulate any council members who had a hand in this coming to the fore. The scope of notification process in the plan is not completely clear, so I hope it will be evolutionary and expansive and open to new ideas. It's badly, badly needed, as our experience with the redevelopment process made abundantly clear. I'm pleased that staff has responded in an aggressive, positive way following that experience, rather than trying to bury this or ignore it, as others might be inclined. It's just a great way to begin to better inform residents. And thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Peters and Council, my name is Bernadette Pekarek. You know, Mayor Peters, I really am kind of shocked at you. I mean, we have been here many of times and listened to these attacks on us by Phil Hill, and you sit there and you don't say anything. I mean, is that what our council is all about? That's wrong. We're a city that wants to be together. And I'm just shocked that you just sit there and you don't stop these attacks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to council. Just a response to the last comment. If someone is being critical of somebody specifically, he was not really addressing an insult to to either one of you. He was stating something that he understood you said. Whether that was correct or not is open to interpretation. If he was calling you names or something, I certainly would have stopped him, and I did ask him to please not use swear words. So, got a balance.
Thank you for having the vehicle released after it was towed was okay. The $150 he was referring
okay.
to.
Okay. Just as a warning to anybody, don't park in a handicapped zone unless you've got a card. It's a stiff fee as well. I remember that. I don't know how much. Any other comments on comments? Carla?
Yeah, can I ask why it was towed rather than just ticketed?
Yes, it was towed. The vehicle was left there for some time because Mr. Nisbet was unavailable, and we had a complaint of the vehicle being occupying a handicap spot.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments on comments? Okay, let's try the consent agenda. Anybody want to pull anything on consent?
I have a correction on the minutes.
A1. Okay. I'd like to pull A2 for a quick update.
All right. Let's go for A1 first then, Carla.
On the first page under closed session motion.
Which date?
October 12th. Closed session October 12th.
On the first page.
There was only four of us there, and it's less 5-0. It should be 4-0. Sorry.
Okay.
That's it.
And I had a follow-up on that same minutes on page 6. Page 6, just mid-page there. Item C1, I'd like to, we have council member stated he supports option 2 that would include a recycling plan. Page 6, just above the
second
motion.
Second paragraph.
In there, as we talk about option 2 that would include a recycling plan on the questionnaire, we had also talked about a proposed budget to be included as well.
So
and that was. We didn't formally include that in the motion, just as we didn't include the recycling plan in the motion, but it seemed like an important component. Ms. Luker had brought it up as a concept, and I think tentatively we all felt like that was an important concept to have as part of that conversation. And I felt like it should be at least mentioned. I don't necessarily think it needs to be...
bring back a correction.
Is that the conversation that you remember?
I actually don't remember. Does anybody else?
You weren't part of it.
Yeah, it was. It was the three of us.
Oh right, I wasn't part of it.
Bare bones council.
So I wouldn't remember.
I don't think it was a big deal, but it seemed like a good idea that was brought up that we had mentioned.
So is it okay to Councilmember Speckler, do you mind if she comes back and just checks her record and she'll get the right
report? That's fine. I hate to create more work, but...
Yeah.
Sorry.
but thanks for bringing it up.
Okay, so then we need a motion approving the September 28th minutes, and we will hold the others off until Bridget comes back with that correction. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, and then NOAA's A2.
Yeah, A2. I was just curious to know it from Mr. Algert as far as an update on where he sees the boat haul out facility going from this point forward, considering what happened with the federal stimulus funds.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council Member Smuckler. In September, we heard from the State Water Board that the project was not deemed shovel-ready and therefore was not ranked high enough to continue on in the process. We had actually been ranked fairly well up until that point, but because it became apparent that we could not start construction by February of 2010, we fell off their list at that time. Recently, we did receive a letter from the Coastal Commission raising many, many issues that we've talked about before. At the time that the city permitted the Harbor Walk project, the Coastal Commission said that the property that was designated for the boat haulout was environmentally sensitive habitat. That creates huge challenges at the Coastal Commission in ever pursuing that project to completion. And those issues are really identified in a three-page letter from the Coastal Commission. So, you know, we've been talking about that for the last 3 or 4 years. The problem still exists. How we could work that out with Coastal is going to be a challenge to us, but we'll continue working on the project as time and
regarding the requested to donate public art are then forwarded to City Council, which we're reviewing this evening. The Morro Bay Friends of the Library have submitted an application to donate a peace pole to the Morro Bay, to the city of Morro Bay. Their proposal is attached as well. This application has met the city manager's criteria and has been reviewed by the RPC. They have found that this particular proposal meets the selection criteria, and they're recommending to you to accept the peace pole from the Friends of the Library for the library location. Their proposal, the Friends of the Library's proposal that you have, does change a bit from the RPC meeting in that it is an 8-foot pole and not a 6-foot pole. And keep in mind the 2 feet of it do go in the ground, so you're about a 6-foot above the ground. And having an 8-foot pole allows the message to be done twice on one side, so you'll have 8 different languages. The Friends of the Library believe that the peace pole located adjacent to the Harbor Street entrance at the Morro Bay Library would be a perfect legacy and an honor for an individual that they're celebrating, and a beautiful and meaningful attraction to enhance the city as well as the international tourist destination. They'd like to purchase an 8-foot aluminum pole that would be sandblasted with the translations that are etched into the surface. Like I said, it would be four-sided, and the message would be, "May peace prevail on earth." It's going to be in English and 7 other languages that the Friends agree upon. The poles, aluminum poles will be maintenance-free, weather-resistant, and will require very little maintenance. The cost of the peace pole is about $400, and it will also include a bronze plaque, which is about the same. The Friends of the Library will be paying for all the costs. The financial impact of the city is just the coordination the city staff has with the Friends of the Library. Staff recommends that the council review this proposal and approve the proposal from the Friends of the Library for them to purchase and install the peace pole as public art to the exterior of the library at 615 Harbor Street. This concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Before I go for questions, I forgot I was supposed to make an announcement. The item that was found on a chair back there is a Bluetooth device, so if anybody left their Bluetooth earpiece there, please check with Tim Olivas. He will have it. And if you're looking at this at home, he'll have it at the police station tomorrow. Okay. All right. Any questions for staff on his report?
No? I just wanted to check in on the time sensitiveness of this project, and is everything on track with its installation?
Thank you for the question. I believe we are on track to meet this particular group's expectations.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this item, please come forward.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and City Council members and staff. My name is Karen Robert, and I'm the president of the Morro Bay Friends of the Library. Thank you for changing this item, number two. Thank you for your consideration of this public art request, which asks you to approve the placement of an 8-foot peace pole at the Morro Bay Library. When we presented this public art request project to the Recreation and Parks Commission on October 1st, we were unable to tell them what our reasons were for wanting this project supported by them and approved by you. We said in our request that it was in honor of a long-term steward and advocate of our library and this community. Even though commission members were curious about who this person was, they still supported the project and recommended that the City Council approve it. We are grateful to them for their support. Now we can share the name of that long-term steward, which probably is not a surprise to you, Jude Sanner Long, branch manager and librarian of the Morro Bay Library. Jude, as you know, has shown a long-standing commitment to this community by her dedicated collaboration and cooperation with city staff, city and community leaders, library volunteers, and a unique and special relationship among the citizens of our community. We see this as a wonderful opportunity for the City of Morro Bay and their approval of this project to also honor Jude for her 34-plus years of dedicated service to the Morro Bay Library and this community. If approved, the peace pole, as mentioned, would be 8 feet tall and placed on the library patio. The peace pole will have 8 languages, of which one will be in English with the saying, "May peace prevail on earth." The other 7 languages would be translating that saying, and these languages selected are Spanish, Chumash, Hebrew, Arabic, Salinan, which is another local Indian tribe, Japanese, and animal paw prints. Now you're probably wondering how we translate animal paw prints, and we actually have the translation right here for you. It's being revealed as we speak. And if you look closely, you can see May. We always start from the left. May peace prevail on earth. Okay. Okay. Really, all kidding aside, we hope you see the benefit of this peace pole for our community and approve the public art request. Thank you so much for your consideration. And also, I'd like to also say thank you to Andrea and Joe for all the work they've done in helping us through this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak on this item? No? Okay, we'll bring it back to council. Any comments?
What's not to like? And I'm happy for Jude to have this honor. She's been a hardworking member of the community, and she's the one that's really spearheading a lot of the homeless boxes that we're doing and very involved doing good things. So good things should happen to good people.
You want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve B2.
All right. Do I hear a second? All right. Any more comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you. All right, now we'll go to item B1. And this one is... There we go. Interpret the city's general plan, local coastal plan, to allow for commercial uses in the Bay Tidelands area of the city west of Main Street between Acacia and Barlow, subject to a project-by-project review and environmental analysis. I'm sorry, that's not the title. That was the recommendation. The title is Discussion and Interpretation of the General Plan, Local Coastal Plan Policies and Zoning Regulations Relating to the Location and Placement of Commercial and Recreational Facility Uses in the Waterfront and Bay Area of the City west of Main Street between Acacia and Barlow. There we go. Okay. Rob?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This item is in front of you tonight after a history of being in front of your advisory bodies in April. And it also was in front of you in May. And then went back to the Planning Commission in July, all for interpretations of certain of our general plan and local coastal plan policies related to commercial and recreation facilities located in this area of the city west of Main Street between Acacia and Barlow. And so on page 2, you have those recommendations from your advisory bodies. Most of this presentation also was in front of you in May, but so I'll try to go through it quickly again, but I want to make sure I highlight the issues and policies that we do have in place. Tonight's goal is to receive the staff presentation on our current general plan LCP policies related to this area, to hold a public hearing, discuss the testimony and deliberate, and then to provide direction to staff. The reasons for this agenda item, there has been quite a bit of confusion over the years that I have heard at different public hearing meetings and amongst staff as to exactly what is the allowable uses in this area. And there's two areas, really. There's the land side area, and then there's the water side area, which we'll both get into. There's been statements made at public hearings that I found through the minutes that have been stated that this area is not zoned for commercial use, that this area is part of the Morro Bay Special Plan B, which is restricted to recreational boating and fishing, and that our general plan specifically refers to this area and says harbor uses shall be recreational boating and fishing and not for commercial boating. I would point out, as you go through all of our LCP and GP, nowhere is the word commercial boating used. This agenda item is not to change or create new zoning or policies. It's to review, or is it to review a specific project in this area at this time? What we're really looking for is on this agenda item is what your role is, and that's to interpret the meaning and intent of our LCP and GP and zoning ordinances, and that so staff is able to take that interpretation and implement it through our administration of our LCP, GP, and zoning ordinances. So that's what tonight's about, is for us to go through these policies and to provide you with some guidance as to what staff's position is, and then for you to make that determination so that we can be guided by that interpretation. Here's the area that we're looking for. It's a little bit hard to see it up on the top, but it is included in your staff report, I believe, as an exhibit. And it's this area, as I mentioned, between Acacia and Barlow, and bordered by Main Street. Below it in the area above the bluff is zoned residential R1 with a PD overlay, and then below the bluff is waterfront PD. And then in the area where the bay is, it's actually designated as H Harbor, and we'll go into each one of those, what they each one means. Historically, though, some of these areas that have been used there, you'll see that there has been a commercial use in this area. There's been boat repair at two areas. There's been the fish plant, a market, fuel dock, and the marine electronics shop. As I mentioned in the map, the up above is the R1 and below is the WF designations. In the R1, that's single-family residential district. In the waterfront, its purpose is to provide visitors serving commercial and recreation area B, and it says it shall be for recreational boating and fishing rather than commercial fishing. There'll be some other policies all tied to it, but it certainly does state that visitors serving commercial can be in this area. In 1983, the Planning Commission received several letters requesting that this LUP designation for mixed-use area be changed to a strictly residential district. That means they were trying to change below where the waterfront district is. They were trying to change that also to residential. There were many hearings held before the Harbor Commission and the Planning Commission and before City Council. And what came out of those meetings is that they decided not to change that waterfront district to residential, and that it remain waterfront, and that policies were developed that talked about this area. And in the staff report near on the PowerPoint presentation is some of the items that they summarized in a staff report that went to City Council about the potential, though, for conflicts in this area between commercial and residential uses, and that this area is not suitable for the full range of commercial uses because of circulation problems. So there was a concern about commercial and residential being in this area together, but at that time in 1983, they were not willing to remove all commercial uses in this area. The Planning Commission did make recommendations to the City Council for the area below the bluff, as I mentioned, and that was to be mixed-use harbor. And it also, again, talked about the consideration of commercial uses, making sure that they are consistent with waterborne clientele or serving a water-orientated purposes, which was stated. But that any proposed use for a commercial use by its nature or design would result in minimal noise, glare, odor, and traffic impacts on other nearby uses. These Planning Commission recommendations went to Council in August of 1984, and a resolution ordinances were passed, which changed the LUP and zoning. It kept the waterfront PD down below, and you change the upper part to that R1 PD in the map that I showed you prior. It then reiterated some of the recommendations from Planning Commission and incorporated that into our LCP about this area west of Main Street between Acacia and Barlow, and specifically stated that current uses shall be considered conforming, but up above there would not be any further commercial uses consistent with an R1 district. It talked about, again, that commercial uses in this area had to be of a waterborne clientele or serving water-orientated purposes. Again, that the proposed commercial use by its nature design would have to result in minimal noise, glare, odor, and traffic impacts. And it also had concerns with regarding the traffic circulation in this area because of parking. based on the history that I've reviewed in the area below the bluff in the mixed-use area, still remains part of the waterfront district. And in that area in the waterfront district, it allows for the continued mixture of visitors serving commercial and recreation uses. I then go into what is allowed in the waterfront district, and that is dockage and support facilities for licensed commercial fishing, but that would be in direct conflict with a previous policy dealing with commercial fishing that I mentioned. And these are more general for the waterfront district as opposed to specific policies that deal directly with that area. It's staff's interpretation of the LCP policies and my interpretation that this area on the waterfront, and we're talking directly about the bluff area below, on the land area, still allows commercial uses. Primary reason is the interpretation of the 84 specifically dealt with this issue and decided that issue. However, there are restrictions, as I mentioned a couple of times in my report, that any use, commercial use, in that waterfront area does have to be compatible with the neighborhood according to our LCP. Now, when we talk about the water issue as opposed to the waterfront district, which is that land issue, now we're talking about the water issue, it gets a little bit more complicated. Figure 3 that's on the board now talks about Area 9, which is the harbor and navigable ways district, and that's the entire Area 9. It's not broken down into different areas specifically. Area 9 allows for a variety of harbor-dependent uses, which include dockage, moorage, government, commercial and recreation, navigation and swimming, commercial and recreation, fishing, mariculture, and other similar uses. The Harbor and Navigable Ways District also talks about commercial and recreational boating and fishing that can be allowed in this area. I think specifically on that policy 7.10, where we talk about only new licensed commercial fishing facilities may be located in the bay north of Beach Street. Although it does say the term may, I think there's a later policy that even uses the word shall that we'll get to and reach that conclusion that commercial fishing should not be allowed in this area. I then go in my report in detail on some of the other policies in our local use plans that talk about though commercial fishing and how important it is to our city and community, and that it does have priority in many ways on the harbor front and establishing priority for commercial fishing. Here's the policy that I mentioned earlier where they use the word shall, and that's in LCP policy 7.01, which now, instead of using the word may, uses the word new commercial fishing facilities shall be located in the northern part of the bay north of Beach Street, and new recreational boating facilities shall be located south of Beach Street. Again, the terms used are commercial fishing and not other commercial uses, which there can be very differently a commercial use that doesn't necessarily qualify as a commercial fishing. And to establish exactly what commercial fishing is, we do have a definition of that, which is vessels of a commercial nature, which actually requires you to have a registered vessel with the State of California Department of Fish and Game as a commercial fishing license. 7.09 also uses the word shall, and it says the city shall designate recreational boating and fishing uses as a priority for the portion of the planning area west of Main Street and south of Acacia Street intersection. The existing coastal dependent uses shall be protected when approving new development. So this policy gives a priority to recreational boating and fishing uses. It does not eliminate other commercial uses, but I think in concert with LCP policy 701, it certainly, in my mind, prohibits the commercial fishing in this area. So the initial issue for City Council to decide, well, I guess first, I mean, I do consider the first issue a simple one, in that commercial uses are allowed in this area, in the waterfront area, and on even in the water. But you certainly could have disagree with that interpretation and reach the conclusion that you're not going to allow any commercial uses in the area. But I think our LCP and our general plan allow for commercial uses both in the waterfront area and in the harbor. But the next question you have to ask is whether you agree. There's been disagreement among staff even as to whether if you get past that first issue of commercial uses, then your question is whether commercial fishing facilities and uses are allowable in the Bay Area. And then which I make a conclusion that they are not allowed. And then you need to ask you another question, though, is really the difference between commercial and industrial uses. I believe that commercial uses are allowed in the harbor area, but we have set policies that really talk about the neighborhood compatibility and the glare and the odor and the noise. And it's difficult from a staff level to know when a project comes forward whether it should be classified as commercial or industrial. We have some guidelines, which I go into great detail, as the different commercial land uses versus industrial uses, but they don't always fit within the harbor designation. The way this came up really as an issue is that it is true that we had the tugboat project coming forward, but because normally when it comes to staff, we know what at least it's an allowable use. It might go through the environmental review and not get a conditional use permit because of the environmental review, traffic, noise, glare, or other issues might vote a project down. But we certainly need direction as to whether we should be even taking applications on certain items if they don't even fall within an established use. So we were trying to get some clarity. And again, first question to ask is whether commercial use is allowed on the waterfront and in the harbor, whether commercial fishing is allowed in the waterfront or in the harbor. And the third, if whether you want to make classifications tonight as to industrial or commercial. As to that third issue, it certainly, to me, believes it has to be a case-by-case basis to really know exactly what the project is, but you could certainly put classifications on that. Planning Commission tried to do that a little bit on boat size, height, and restrictions on that, but, you know, in my mind, 100-foot...
Not always able to keep them fully rented, but they're all permanently assigned. All moorings in the bay are full. Occasionally you can go see a couple of slips open on a nice day. Hopefully those folks are actually boating and sailing or fishing on a weekend. Somebody might notice some vacant slips, but the slips are full, and today's problem is I'm trying to find space for all the dredge equipment that's coming to town, and we're having great difficulty. We have a small service boat that's at the three-hour dock because the two T-piers are rafted three deep with vessels today. So we are short of space in the harbor.
What about recreational? Is that an issue as well?
Absolutely, yeah. We get calls almost every day from people with boats trying to find berthing space in Morro Bay for their vessels. Now, it tends to be, especially larger vessels, we're very short on berthing arrangements for vessels over 40 feet.
Docks are full too, or do you know?
Private docks are all full. I mean, I think at Gray's there's possibly a vacancy or two right now. I don't expect that to last. There's always a gap between somebody moving, but.
And this is during a period when fishing is not even a big industry right now.
That's correct. We've kept our slips, our city slips, which are reserved for commercial fishing, full. For a period, I had thought perhaps we might get to the end of the waiting list. I think the waiting list has actually increased in the last year and a half.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Other questions? Rick?
One for Rick, I guess. Has there been a history of much commercial fishing in that area in the bay itself?
So commercial fishing in the water, or perhaps right. Berthing of vessels and activity?
No,
there,
actually commercial fishing in the bay.
I was surprised when we went through the MPA designation process. I pulled some fishermen, and I found that there historically had been some commercial fishing activity, everything from ghost shrimp that was sold up to actually leopard sharks historically in Morro Bay Harbor inside the jetties. And that does include even some stick gear and trap gear on the jetties and things like that. That didn't happen all that often, but there was some history of it. inside the bay, if that was your question.
Well, I guess I'm thinking if hypothetically, if we said no commercial fishing in the bay, is that going to have much of an impact on commercial fishermen?
So right now, there is basically, with the MPA that was designated by the state of California, commercial fishing is prohibited inside the bay already. So, and I think the zoning and land use really question is another, is a question of whether you would have a facility or development of, that would apply to the zoning. But anyway, at this time, commercial fishing is prohibited inside the bay.
Other questions? Betty, any?
Noah? I did have one question. Just as more of a clarification, in Area B, as far as I understand it, the boatyard is the only existing water side commercial use.
What's left right now? We have the boatyard left. The fuel dock. Is that right, Rick?
Yeah.
When really the commercial operation that's left is probably the boatyard. The fuel dock, the tanks were removed, is my understanding, even.
There is some shop activity down in the south end, and I'm trying to think, but I don't think otherwise there would be any.
Carla, any questions?
Yeah, Rick, on the pier, the T pier you just said was full, 3 deep. I know on there there's, I don't know how many for sure, derelict boats there, and the potential timeline of when some of those would be moved and how much space that would free up if we were to have money available to remove those.
Right. We are constantly working on demolition projects. It seems like new ones kind of backfill almost as quick as we can get rid of the old ones. So once again, yeah, we have about 4 vessels right now that are in the process of lien sale or in the process of turning over, hopefully for demolition. And it's really hard to say, but it doesn't, I think we have cleaned up a lot of the issues in the bay, believe it or not, and we've got a handle on the some of the biggest problem boats at this time, which 3 or 4 of them are tied up at the pier, but they are owned by, various interests that are even paying their bills. So we're trying to manage those situations.
So there's no potential for dock space of any of those leaving? Is that what you're saying?
It's pretty hard for me to say that we could free up, my experience has been in the last 15 years as we've increased our effort to demolish boats, it just seems like there's always another boat moving to the pier and taking its spot.
Madam Mayor, I do have a question.
Okay. Bob, did you have something to add?
I would mention that not only is this area and possible proposals that we'll hear from that's in front of the Martini property, but we also have the Coakley property, which is a lease site that has 30 slips. That lease, I believe, expires in 2012?
Sometime around then, yes.
It's right around that time. So we could see this issue coming up at that time also, and that's why we need the direction.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this item, please come forward. Limit your comments to 3 minutes, please.
Thank you, City Council and Harbor. My name is Patrick Gorey. I'm a resident in Morro Bay on 500 block of Marina Street, and I'm all for the development of businesses in Morro Bay and in the harbor, and I think we need to support business development here because the city needs the money to pave the streets and expand the library and pay our police and fire department. So anything we can do to foster business development in Morro Bay, I'm all in favor of, and I love the harbor. Being out on the water, boating, sailing, kayaking, and I have no problems with tugboats. So I just hope that we would act intelligently and develop these kind of properties or these kind of opportunities when we have the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Bill Martini. And I think it's pretty obvious that the actual zoning, the intent south of Tidelands Park, because of the residential neighborhood, and that is for low-key, the recreational boating. There's always a demand for boating. I don't care if you build 1,000 slips. You're going to need 1,001. We're proposing for that lease site just, again, a mariculture operation, a little different than having wall-to-wall boats in Morro Bay. This is a source of income. And that aside, tugboats, absolutely, you know, have nothing against tugboats. It's the locating of the tugboats. They were historically at Sylvester's Landing. They were told to move there when the Stocking sold the tug business in the 60s to locate on the Embarcadero because that was the purpose of the working waterfront. By pulling them south into the residential area, you're going to get into the conflict between the residents in a residential neighborhood and the big, large boats that belong along the Embarcadero for the tourists or to the north. I do understand that a lot of people, when you have, like, well, where Sylvester's Landing was with the tugs, that now is the Estero Inn, now they don't want the tugs in that area because it conflicts with the motels that you built on the waterfront. Right now, if you go between the Anderson Inn, you go to the Hofbräu, you go up to the Whale's Tail, if you look along there, right today, you can pull up those tugs. They will fit there. You can pull up the Chablis. It has bumper piles. They could tie up tomorrow. They could be in business. This is what the tourists come to Morro Bay again to see, a working waterfront, not just T-shirt shops, and that is what zoning all is all about in the bay. The area at one time did have fishing in our area, but it is predominantly residential, and you're just going to deal with conflicts all over again. And this is why we're saying recreational boating is designated in that area. It's more appropriate. Our mariculture proposal is very low-keyed, low impact. And when it comes to the actual commercial zoning on land, we've never disputed that below the bluff is commercial zoned. Absolutely it is. It's actually the type of boats that are allowed in the water between the large, large boats and the more the recreational boats. So, I mean, that's truly the issue. The commercial area along the bluff, just for the information, below the bluff in that area, for the information of the people that are watching, it's only about 30 foot wide. It isn't true waterfront commercial like along the Embarcadero. Very limited access, and it just doesn't make sense to bring this type of operation down into that area in conflict with the neighborhood. Thank you.
Sorry that's so loud, they can't control it.
My name is Dorothy Cutter. The mayor told me a few days ago that the reason you want to rezone the area is for Frank Loving to bring his industrial tugs down into the residential area and park them in front of the cannery property, and that he wants to repair the existing wharf in front of the cannery, when the Coastal Commission says the wharf has to come down right away because it is a hazard to the health and safety of the bay. So where is Frank Loving going to tie up? Our general plan and local coastal plan clearly states that recreational boats should go south of Tidelands Park and commercial boats go in the north part of the bay. Mr. Schultz can write all the 12-page reports he wants, but he can't change the meaning of recreational. And I don't know what this business is about, the difference. What is the meaning of shall? Okay. Why have you had 6 public hearings and spent so much money to change our general plan and local coastal plan to bring an industrial operation into our residential neighborhood and create so many problems? It's just not compatible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Bernadette Pekarik, Mayor Peters, and council members. I'm here to discuss whether commercial boats are allowed south of Tidelands Park, and if so, is it okay that we can tie up a nuclear sub to the cannery wharf, since the ordinance doesn't say it is not allowed? This is the logic staff is using on justifying bringing down commercial industrial tugs into recreational boating zone area. No grandfathered status exists for this use currently, and the zoning clearly states that these type of boats belong at the northern end of the bay. Just because at one time Morro Bay during World War II was connected with submarines doesn't mean they are grandfathered in now and belong in the back part of the bay. The same holds true for the industrial tug operation. You went to court over the very same issue on neighborhood compatibility against Jason Linker and won. Now you want to use this predominantly residential neighborhood as a dumping ground. The Embarcadero still has plenty of areas for this working waterfront. Why did you sue us to tear down the wharf and cost us and the city all the money and time that we both incurred? Are you going to reimburse us for those 5 years? Seems now that staff is speaking out of both sides of their mouth. The real point being, you need to set policy and confirm that commercial boats are to be in the northern part of the bay and recreational only in the southern part of the bay. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Lynn Mouse, and I live at 541 Embarcadero on a boat. And that wharf has been a commercial wharf since it was constructed. There was a hiatus when there wasn't anybody who wanted it. I think tearing it down now and losing the resource that we have when Morro Bay is identified as a working waterfront would be foolish. If Mr. Loving can come in and rebuild it, then we will save a great deal of money from avoiding the destruction, and we will retain a great resource in the city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jack McCurdy again from Morro Bay. I want to make a few comments about an email I sent to the council members this afternoon, and one point I want to emphasize from that email. It seems absolutely clear that commercial uses are not allowed west of Main Street between Acacia and Barlow, based on my reading of the documents that were cited in the staff report. Nothing short of an amendment to the general plan, local COSA plan, would be required. Now, another issue I raised about whether commercial fishing could be allowed south of Tidelands Park. I may be confused about that, but I want to explain how I reached that conclusion based on the documents in the staff report. It refers to the 1984 council resolution, which said, for the area in question, the following policies shall apply. In approving a CUP, the Planning Commission shall make the following findings: that any proposed commercial use is generally serving a waterborne clientele or serving a water-oriented purpose. Based on the above, the waterfront district allows dockage and support facilities for licensed commercial fishing and recreation. The city shall, the LCP also goes on to say, the city shall designate recreational boating and fishing as a priority use in this area, but it doesn't say the only recreational use.
3 Main Street. I'm sorry, got a little bit up ahead of myself. It's hard to believe this project is still being considered after a year plus of meetings. I and others in the neighborhood were under the assumption that a mariculture facility was being considered for this area and the industrial tug use had been dismissed. Even though the tugboats weren't directly mentioned in the staff report, we all know what's fueling this fire. With all the negative aspects associated with a tugboat or any other large industrial commercial operation in this area, I don't understand why this project is still being considered. With the exception of one small boatyard serving predominantly recreational boats, the area from the boat launch to the old gas dock is comprised of all residential homes. This isn't a matter of trying to keep all marine activity out of our neighborhood. It's a question of matching the appropriate waterfront plan with the surrounding homes.
My family has lived at our present location for over 50 years, so we're not new kids on the block trying to keep everyone else out. Noise pollution have always been issues in this area, going back to Orville League's operation of unloading fish for the cannery. This is an environmentally sensitive area and should be protected from any future industrial development. There is plenty of room north of Tidelands Park for potential commercial industrial expansion. The tug operation should remain in the northern end of the bay with the other commercial boats. We don't need to review the city's own general plan and coastal land use plan that established this area for recreational boating and fishing. This has been reiterated at every meeting for the past year. In the latest staff report concerning Special Area B, it is a staff's interpretation that industrial uses are not allowable uses on the waterfront or bay in the area of the city west of Maine between Arcacia and Barlow. We need to put this matter to rest and follow the recommendation of the city's coastal land use plan with regard to mixed use. Thank you. I have just had one further comment for the mayor. You asked a short time ago about the vacancy rate. I'm the neighbor of Ty Myers, who owns that little haul-out facility right next to me on the south side. And the last time he was in town, I asked him, and he's got 25 people on the waiting list for pleasure boats. So it just gives you some idea in that area. It is crowded for pleasure craft.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, staff. My name's Kathy Kellett. I live at 261 Palm Avenue. Excuse me, I'm reading my text. I've lived across the street from the cannery property since 1989. My deceased husband lived there since the late 70s. During a lot of that time, the cannery was in full operation. Our otherwise quiet neighborhood did experience the sounds, diesel smells, lights, and semi-truck traffic in the middle of the night at times as the fishing vessels were offloading fish. There was never a permit to allow these boats to tie up permanently at this site. It is very distressing to be awakened in the middle of the night with loud activity like that when we usually hear the shorebirds, and when the onshore winds are occurring, we hear the ocean waves and the foghorns. There will be others who speak to the issues regarding the Coastal Commission decision to remove this dock because of pollutants to our bay and other legalities, but I really just want to know what's really going on here. What is the bigger picture? What is there something big that's happening here that requires all of this attention to this property and this use? I'm sure the people who own the hundreds of homes in this area from Main Street up to Kern Avenue are not even aware of what is about to happen to our neighborhood. If the zoning is changed to commercial boats south of Tidelands Park, watch the quality of life as we know it today change drastically. Watch the values of our homes that we have all worked hard for plummet if our city council and staff members decide to turn this area into industrial or commercial use for huge working tugs or other commercial boats. And dare I say, a support industry for something bigger. If this happens, we can all look forward to the diesel smells, sounds, and bright lights 24/7. We all know how that sounds and how the sounds and smells travel with the onshore winds. And don't we have an estuary to protect here? If you change the status to commercial boats that can dock permanently at this cannery site, do you really believe it will not impact the bay and the estuary with pollutants? People come here from all over to kayak, sail, and look at a wonderful fishing village. That's
attorney here tonight is that commercial use is acceptable here. I don't believe the tugs are industrial, the operation that Frank Loving has, but I also don't see that as the item that we're talking about. Although I'm a recreational boater, I would hate to see any restrictions on commercial usage for maritime purposes whatsoever. I see we have a problem growing here, and that is we have one little boatyard, and it's in this same neighborhood, and I know these people want it gone. Well, we need to have a boatyard. And after hearing this bad news that Rick just informed us about with the Coastal Commission, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here, just like Kathy doesn't know what's going to happen here. Is this going to just be kayaks in a swamp? A lot of the commercial boats have left, and there's a lot more recreational boaters here, but I don't think you want to restrict this because you might have some ecotourism business that wants to come in. You might have, who knows, a tall ship that wants to park somewhere. This is a small waterfront. We go to a lot of other yacht clubs up and down the coast, and this is a very small yacht waterfront. You have the north and the south. Well, it's really small altogether, so I wouldn't restrict it from one end to the other because it's not very big. The rest of the bay is protected from any usage like this, and I think that's important, and we all think that's important. The bay is the heart of our city. I'm constantly have heard over the years from Planning Commission and City Council that the working waterfront is what we want to keep. That's our charm. Well, the bay is the heart of that charm. So don't restrict the commercial usage, though. And once again, I don't think the tugboats are industrial. This project that has brought this issue to up front right now, you know, I think that it should be looked at as a very viable possibility. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name again is James Nisbet. I've lived here since 1946. Grew up in this area, went to Morrow Elementary School, got bused into San Luis High School, junior high, finished my high school career because there was no Morrow Bay High School at that time, and grew up hunting on the bay, going brant hunting. I've been hunting brant on the bay since I was 8 years old, and I've had more religious experiences sitting on the sand spit watching the sunrise over Morrow Bay. I don't need to go to church. I believe in God thoroughly, but I don't believe in church. And their current brant hunting season is only open about 2 months out of the year and is from the area that's not the city of Morrow Bay, so the city of Morrow Bay's lines don't cross into the most of the bay. And as far as kayakers go, they help the brant hunters because they keep the brant stirred up, and the first thing they do is head for the boats with the decoys. And I have been there with Steve Wilson and some of the other people brant hunting at 8 years old using a 410 shotgun and had some of the most wonderful meals that I've ever had in my life on Black Sea Brant. And get really tired of all these people that going around and think that they're viewing these wildlife. All the hunters want is 2 months out of the year to hunt their geese, and then the rest of the year that the citizens can take over and do what they want to do, and all they're asking for is 2 months to live in peace and allow this. And I know everybody's concerned about lead shot and all this. Well, they don't use lead shot anymore. They use steel shot. And there's been several people that say ban hunting from the bay, period. Well, the Morrow Bay city limits don't even cover most of the bay. It's in the Back Bay area that most of the hunting gets done. So I don't feel that city of Morrow Bay has anything to do with it. So why don't they lighten up and just accept it for 2 months out of the year and then have the rest of the year for themselves? And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to council. All right. I just want to, again, go through the history of why we're here, because there's some concern about why we've had all the meetings and everything else. A question came up with an application for use of this. Okay, first of all, somebody purchased the property that included this dock. They did not want to take care of the dock. So they gave up. Now we got two things we have to look at. First of all, are commercial fishing facilities and uses allowable in this area? So why don't we deal with that one first, or do you want to discuss them together? Council, what's your preference? Together or separate issues? Got any? Betty?
I'm not sure that they can be separated. I know the city attorney would like us to do that, but and maybe one comes before the other. I guess I'm just looking at this definition on the mixed-use area B, and it says mixed harbor uses. And I don't know how you can get much clearer than that. So that harbor uses would mean water for recreational boating and fishing rather than commercial fishing. So I'm having a hard time seeing the ambiguity.
Okay. Well, that's what we have to decide. The other issue is what types of commercial uses are allowable in this area, and should some uses be classified industrial and not allowed? What do we feel is appropriate for that area? That, to me, is the second question. Maybe that's the only question.
Well, and don't those two only come into play if we say yes to the first one or no to the first one? Because if you say there's no commercial allowed back here, then the other two fall away.
Isn't the same as just docking.
That's
real different in my mind. So because fishing boats are a different kind of a thing. They go in and out at various hours, lots of times very, middle of the night, that kind of thing. Sometimes they come back middle of the night. It depends on what their catch is, where they're going. You can't really control that. When you're talking about just tying up boats, whether it's tugboats or recreational boats, that's a whole different thing. That happens in the daylight hours 95% of the time, I'm guessing. And so that's a different issue as far as I'm concerned. Commercial fishing indicates a certain kind of access and use that could be disturbing to residential. I'm not sure when you bought into a house that was right on an active waterfront and there was commercial processing, if even that should be a consideration. But given that it might be for those people that live there now, I think that is a different issue than whether we allow boats to be tied up there. So we can discuss them together, separately, however anyone would
like
to do
it. Let's do the first question first of whether it's even allowed.
Okay. Commercial fishing facilities. And what do we mean by facilities? So that's another issue, too. Who'd like to start? Noah, got some ideas?
Oh, geez. Well, I guess being the one with the least amount of history on this issue, reading through the staff report, it's been around for quite a while, and it's interesting to see the names that come up as you review staff reports and minutes from the early 80s, and here we are still talking about the same issue. One thing that kind of jumps out to me pretty much throughout is I feel, as Ms. Windholz just pointed out, that it's fairly clear that we are our policy is to focus the larger, heavier use in the north part of the bay and recreational fishing and boating opportunities in the south. And I think at this point, because of adjustments with different commercial opportunities that have ceased to exist in that south part, which I think is unfortunate, we are looking at a situation that's fairly well segregated at this point. And Area B seems to be very much a residential, recreational use area that I think we would be inviting major issues if we start to degrade that, especially given the concept that we have committed ourselves so much to that lighter use in that area. And I think it's an interesting lesson to look at because we have other decisions that come forward where we are changing commercial zoned land to residential land, and we've seen a lot of problems with that adjustment, and I think we're seeing the inverse of that here. So that's just some things that jumped out to me as I started to review this and talk with different people that have a lot of experience with the issue. And I would like to recognize the need that we have throughout the estuary on both sides, the commercial and also the recreational side, and do what we can to resolve this issue considering compatibility with the Area B and the neighborhood there, and also realizing that we have impacted facilities that could actually be enhanced with encouragement as we make decisions down the road on future projects and so on. I think we should do everything we can to enhance the efficiency of their space and the accessibility of these different options. So generally, I feel comfortable with
you correctly, you're saying you don't approve of either commercial fishing or any other kind of uses other than recreational? Is that what you're saying?
I would hope that we could focus our efforts to maintain that, yes. I acknowledge that within some of these documents there's prioritization of different uses, and I think it's clear the priorities as they're laid out. And I guess that's why we have a suggestion of getting into a case-by-case analysis. But ultimately, I think if we do that, we're going to be opening up a lot of issues with the neighborhood. And so I would say let's avoid commercial uses in this area as much as possible. Yeah.
Okay. Rick, how about you?
Well, in reading over, decisions. 26 years ago, the Harbor Commission met, and they were very concerned about the limited amount of commercial waterfront. And I doubt if we have any more commercial waterfront 26 years ago than we do now. The need for waterfront-oriented commercial uses, the long history of the area as a harbor-serving area, and precluding waterfront commercial activities could adversely affect the local economy, which I think is a very real concern, and especially now. I think by saying that we're not going to allow commercial, then we're not doing anything to foster the business environment, jobs, people's quality of life. I've been to Bill and Bernadette's place. They're lovely people, and they have a lovely view, and I get it. I understand why they don't really want these things down there. But looking at the greater good, I would have to say that I would lean toward allowing commercial. It's kind of akin to, look at the people in the building industry. They're having such a horrible time. It's like putting a moratorium on building. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like let's throw them under the car and then run over them. So we need to do whatever we can do, especially in these times, to foster a better economic environment. And even if a person was to get like a sailboat for tours of the bay, that wouldn't be allowed then, or a kayak business, or things that really don't have an environmental impact, so to speak, like tearing apart boats and oil going into the bay and all these things. And that's why, when we talked about the case-by-case basis, if we were to consider industrial, we'd have to really take a look environmentally as far as what that entails. But I certainly would not be for banning a commercial fishing facility or commercial use in the area.
Okay, Betty?
Just to clarify, we're talking about commercial, not commercial fishing. Is that right?
We're doing both at once.
I thought I heard the city attorney say we can't do commercial fishing down here.
It's open to interpretation.
A commercial fishing facility, certainly in my legal opinion, is not allowed in this area.
Okay. So we're only talking
commercial. The term shall, and the question from the public was, shall is mandatory, a may is permissive. And that's why when it says shall not be located. And so, in my opinion, that's...
But you said that's open to our interpretation.
That's still open to your interpretation. It certainly is.
I'm not sure how you interpret shall any other way than shall.
I'm going by, Rob's saying
There are many other policies, as was pointed out, about the preserving commercial fishing, though, in the whole entire Bay Area.
But
as to this specific policy in this specific area, it certainly seems specific to me.
Rick, did you have something that you wanted to add to that?
Madam Mayor, thank you very much. I would just comment. I was going to comment to Rob's ear that I think it's new commercial fishing. His interpretation would be that that's the question, right? Is new commercial fishing?
And there is no use there that's continued, and that's why I would consider anything new down there. The boatyard is conforming, but if it ceased to exist for over 6 months, anything then would be considered a new facility under our CUP process, and that's why I've classified it as new, but you could make that definition that it's not new. I would also point out, just with the commercial use, and I think Councilmember Grantham has pointed out, there are uses down there that at least staff feels could be compatible with the neighborhood, the kayak business, electrical boat business, and if you'd say no commercial use, then even, I mean, that certainly gives good direction for staff, although there is no proposal currently for mariculture, that would be a commercial use. And so that would
8 months ago is that we've had multiple uses down in this neighborhood, and as they've come and gone, the residence has predominated, the commercial has faded, and it seems to me that the intent of the 1980s was they acknowledged that, and as it fades on its own, then you don't do anything to upset the current what is currently. To try to throw it back into something that it's not. So as it evolves into a residential area, you don't bring in an industrial tug to throw it into another kind of use or whatever it's going to be. I think that there, and they tried to wrestle with this again back in the 1980s, that there may be commercial uses that would be compatible because of their nature. That would fit into a residential area, the same way that we would allow a grocery store in a residential area because it meets certain needs of the neighborhood. It's not obnoxious to the area. And there are other businesses that we don't allow in residential area because they would be obnoxious. So it seems to me if we want to affirm that there is commercial area or commercial uses in this area, that we would need to define that very specifically in terms of there are consequences in the neighborhood. So I guess then that would be my position, is obviously no commercial fishing, and that if there's commercial, that we define those parameters. And obviously industrial would never, ever be allowed in any neighborhood on land or near water in any way. Would you put industrial next to residential?
Okay, Carla?
Just a question for Councilmember Winholz. In your industrial interpretation, is that something out of the staff report that you're talking about, industrial?
Industrial is defined in the...
So you're talking about what was in here.
And that if you interpret industrial on land to be the same for industrial on water.
Okay. But we're talking on water, so that's what I'm just going to direct my comments right now, just to the water use. And it was interesting about the comment made in regards to when it was a fish processing plant, because I believe if you have mariculture, you would have to truck it out of there also. So it would still be vehicles in and out of a processing that would be disruptive to the neighborhood in that aspect. I'm of the same like as, again, this is 2-0 with Mr. Grantham this evening. And I did spend a lot of years down at the fuel docks when they were there, as I have many, many friends over the last 31 years I've been here that are commercial fishermen. And I spent a lot of time down on the fuel docks before those tanks were pulled out, and down at Orville's and all those areas. I agree with the need to support commercial use in this bay. This is a working harbor, and I think that we have a lot of mixed uses up and down the harbor, whether it's, you know, from our fishing area down here all the way down. And I'm not wanting to restrict opportunities that we struggle with, where to tie up the Chablis constantly. We can't put it at the docks down here because it's fishing, so then we're not going to be able to put it down there either. But yet it's an interpretation, so I think that I'm just not interested in restricting it. And for the sake of time, I will just reiterate Rick's comments and leave it at that for right now.
Okay. My feelings are, there's been comments about, you know, well, okay, I'm just going to address it to what started all this. I talked to Frank Loving and asked him, you know, what is it exactly that you were proposing for this? And I know we're not talking about that issue, but I want to give an idea of the kind of uses that I think are appropriate. And what he said he's looking for is a place to tie up his boats. That's what he's looking for. They're out a lot of the time. He said average time at in port would be maybe 120 days per year, out the rest of the time working. When they do come in, they do need maintenance. Every boat needs maintenance. I don't care if it's recreational, industrial, commercial, what. They all need maintenance. And that's something that you do in the daytime. You don't do it at night if you can avoid it. And certainly his crews, he said, do not work in the evening on maintenance. They're looking at a place where they can... His boats would only take up 30% of the dock that he would be willing to refurbish. So the rest of that dock would be available for recreational and other uses that we need. That's why I asked the harbor director. You may not see all the slips full when you cruise up and down the bay. They're out. They're boats. They go. They come back. They're itinerant visitors that may have a dock here permanently, but they take the boat down to Marina del Rey, and it's there half the time. So we need to maintain our way. You know, yeah, we agree with that. It does work. We want to preserve our working waterfront, and we will review things on a case-by-case basis. So that's how I feel about it.
I would love to make a comment back.
Okay.
This was not something that happened all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. It's been in this transition mode for decades, so your language doesn't match the reality of how this has come about for me. I find it difficult that we are finding it okay to come and can I just remind us that the purpose of zoning is to make sure we don't put industrial or commercial things right against other kinds of residential R1 zoning or R2 zoning. We have transitional zones. So what you're asking for here is no transitional zone, regardless of the fact that some of it's on water and some of it's on land. And that used to be mixed. But we've transitioned out of what was. We've also transitioned along the rest of the waterfront north. We've allowed now hotels on the Embarcadero, so we're coming into where we're bringing in a semi-residential area into a commercial industrial area. So it seems to me, because we haven't been strict about honoring our zoning along the Embarcadero, a lot of it's being pushed to other places where it shouldn't go. We've lost the boat haul out that was in the middle of the Embarcadero. So we think we're going to let this little boat haul out in the south take care of everything, which it can't and won't, as we try to work for something else. So it seems to me mixed use is okay, but there's consequences. And as you transition other areas, now you're bringing in other impacts to other areas. I think we're going to have a hard time defending this before the Coastal Commission. I think whatever interpretation here will get appealed to the Coastal Commission. And when you have a document that's very clear about what is or isn't allowed in certain places, that we're asking for that kind of conflict to come back. And so I just want to bring that up.
Okay, well, I disagree that this is being pushed one way or the other. I mean, we have an overabundance of requests for boat slips, and we don't have the slips. So I think that that's a pretty obvious thing. I think that our zoning says, Area B says, above the bluff, the property is zoned residential, and below the bluff, it is zoned waterfront. Waterfront zoning allows a wide range of commercial and water-related activities. So that is my feeling about what we're talking about. We're
Absolutely.
Talking about above the bluff and below the bluff. We're not changing the zoning. We're honoring the zoning.
I disagree, because within that, you have a special overlay, which is mixed-use Area B, which allows you to be more restrictive because of the sensitive nature.
Right.
And that's what's being ignored.
But that's what's said. It will be decided on a one-to-one basis, depending on all the criteria
Where does
the
it
council
say that?
Came up with in 1984.
What they came up with was not just for mixed-use Area B, was it?
They
was
came
it?
Up with...
where it says,
I'm looking.
Okay, I see
I'm
that.
I'm looking through the 1984
okay.
minutes, yeah.
Okay, I see
It was
that.
All very specific, and that's what our Planning Commission reiterated. That's what I think Harbor Commission didn't really comment
okay.
on that, but it's what our Planning Commission reiterated.
Okay. So
the
so,
criteria is there. All we have to do is enforce it.
Okay, so, and this gets back to then that maybe we're closer than what, maybe than being further away.
Okay.
Because I said that we can entertain commercial area if it meets criteria that fits with the neighborhood.
Okay.
The criteria that they set up are A through D on page 9 of the staff report. We're not supposedly specifically talking about the tugboat commercial business here,
right.
but I'm not sure how that would fit into this criteria.
And
go ahead, Rob.
And I'm staff's not sure either, and that's where we got in this position. And although some rumors are that there's something bigger planned out there, there really wasn't. But what we want to do before we went into that environmental review for any applicant, because what happened was we were at the planning stage and they started asking those questions about hours of operations and noise and odors and maybe even doing pole studies to see how high the boats and all of that before all those studies are done, that there were many people in the audience that said it's commercial use just isn't allowed. What are you even beginning? Why are you even getting... Why, staff, are you accepting that application even to begin with? And that's why we pulled back and said we have to ask that first question, which was the commercial use, but that even brought up the other issue of the commercial fishing. So if, in fact, I mean...
Okay, well, I'm going to make staff's motion. I move that staff interpret the city's GPLCP to allow for commercial use in the Bay Tidelands area of the city, west of Main Street, between Acacia and Barlow, subject to a project-by-project review and environmental analysis.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
And that does not include commercial fishing.
How did you interpret that when you suggested that motion?
I didn't, because I felt that that issue's been resolved and it's not
okay.
allowed.
And all right.
If we were to get one, I certainly would make
okay.
the recommendation that staff deny it. But, I mean, if you want to give us different direction, you should.
Okay. All right. That does not include commercial fishing.
And I would like to...
Is that okay with you, Carla, on your second?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to ask the council if or potentially staff, if we see a way to strengthen the neighborhood compatibility, recreational boater safety, and environmental impacts as part of that review... for this case-by-case basis process, and if there was specific things that we could do to at least draw that component out more and make sure that it's clear so future applicants understand that we really, even though we've made this adjustment, that we have standards that are going to be important for their project to be considered.
Rob, did you want to say something on that?
It's always good to put something in more than a motion and put into a resolution form, especially since this, although the exercise some people has been lengthy, I think it's been a good exercise to reiterate what is or what is not allowed and give staff good guidance. It might be best to come back with a resolution, not only reiterating that staff can accept, if that's where you're heading, commercial uses, but also reiterate these requirements for that neighborhood compatibility regarding noise, odor, and any other considerations you want that applicant to take in. So right out of the gate, they understand what the playing rules are.
But, and I'd like to add that these criteria on page 9, if you look that they're under subheading 4, they're directed at recreational boating and commercial fishing. They are not directed at quantifying or limiting commercial uses. So if your intent is to make these applicable to commercial uses, they need to apply to 1 through 4, not just through
okay.
to 4. And so I think that then becomes a change to your LCP.
Okay.
I have a
you know, I a concern in being so restrictive on the verbiage when this we already asked for this to go through the Planning Commission and Harbor Advisory both, and on unanimous votes on both those advisory boards, they agreed that they would take this on a case-by-case basis. And I think that if we get so restrictive with this, again, we're going to disallow something that maybe we wanted to have allowed and then can't.
Well, if we use the motion as stated and just said subject to conditions A through D in item 4, would that not resolve the issue?
Actually, to me, A through D on page 9 is not the language of the LCP that you should be referring to when it's this area. The area that I think is more restrictive is the language in the LCP, which talks about that the proposed commercial use by its nature design will result in minimal noise, glare, odor, and traffic impacts
yeah,
on other
okay,
nearby
that's
uses.
And where are you?
Right, where was that?
That's in, on page 6 at the top 12, that A through E.
Okay.
Which talks about even that the proposed commercial use is generally serving a waterborne clientele or serving a water-orientated purpose.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it would not if it was located within the harbor.
All right, so if we said that that was subject, the commercial uses were subject to those criteria, then that would resolve the issue?
I would request that we would insert at least mention of recreational boater safety and strengthen the neighborhood compatibility mention in this, which I think is not as strong as it probably should be and as we'd like it to be. For clarity.
I disagree. How do other people feel?
I'm fine with it the way it is.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we have a motion including the criteria.
Under the mandatory water conservation measures, the actual short dot, State Water Project short dot is forthcoming on November 1st, so it would be our recommendation that we still institute the mandatory water conservation requirements through the duration of the shutdown, which is expected to end in about the second or third week of November. If you have any questions, be happy to answer them.
I have a question on something I've observed, and I don't want to be a tattletale, but people who are out-of-town residents and they have their sprinkler system set to water every night at 10 o'clock, do we have any way of knowing if they've gotten the notice?
We operate on a complaint-driven basis, and we'll follow up through enforcement. They were sent. We had 20,000 of those made, and we rolled the public service announcements. And I'm happy to inform you that we probably realized a 10% benefit in conservation because everybody's aware of it. So thankfully it's doing something because it's taken our demand down significantly, 10%.
Because I mean, if somebody's out of town, they don't know about these regulations. They haven't picked up their mail. It's at the post office or whatever. If I were to say where this is, would you be able to notify them by the property?
We'd be happy to notify them. Anybody can call our office. We'll begin the investigation and look into code enforcement.
I don't want to get them in trouble when they don't know yet.
Shoot us an email. Anybody can call the office. Okay. We've gotten a number of calls on other kinds of questions.
And, okay. I believe their first line of defense was to contact them to make sure they knew anyways before they start fining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not here. Very seldom are they here. So, okay, yeah. Rick?
So, Bruce, the 21st of November, we should return to state water. We have no second meeting in November, so if we get a lot of rainfall and if situation changes and if we decide to relax the restrictions, we wouldn't do that until the first meeting of December.
That's right.
If you like, I suppose you can give us direction now to stop the conservation measures.
I don't know if that would be a good idea. Not until we...
We know.
Get better conditions.
Okay.
Yeah. But it seems to, it looks to me like in that case the first meeting of December would be our first opportunity. Okay.
Okay. Any other
and that certainly was in line with what we passed the other way that
right.
We did not put a deadline on
right.
it.
Any other questions for staff on this?
Yeah, actually, I just had a follow-up request. Very interested to see the effectiveness and the actual numbers for our savings. And so I'd ask that you'd give us that sort of a breakdown as we finish this off or as we move through it.
Absolutely. We're ballpark about 10%, which is significant, but we can shoot you an email with what our actual consumption is.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Throughout the whole process.
All right, and that's just a receive and file, so we'll move on to item D1, approval to incorporate email notification module on the city website. Andrea.
Thank you. I have a brief report this evening. We became aware of an email notification module that we can purchase for our new city website that came live in, I believe, March or April of this year. And basically what the module does is it allows citizens to sign up to receive email notification when certain information is posted on the website. So when the minutes of this meeting are posted on the website and dropped into that document center, those that have signed up to receive the minutes of the council meeting will be emailed an email with the ability to get those documents. It'll certainly save staff time and hopefully address the issue that we've had with notification about meetings and when information is on the website. I'm hoping that you were able to take a look at the city of Dubuque, Ohio.
Is it Iowa or Ohio? Iowa.
Dubuque in either Ohio or Iowa. And if you go to their website, you can there's a Notify Me button that you can click on, and they have a host of things you can sign up for, many, many things you can sign up for to be notified of. I've been receiving their city council minutes now for about 4 weeks, fascinated on what's going on in Dubuque. But it's a great system, and it works really well. What we're hoping to do is get authorization tonight, and then we'll go contact Civic Plus, and they'll do some training with city staff, and we'll get this show on the road. We are suggesting that we use PEG Access funds for this project, which is approximately $300 for installation, $300 for training, and $100 per month for website maintenance. And we do have a $340 credit from training that we didn't take when we got the website set up. You'll probably be asking me what the PEG Access Fund balance is at this point. You'll remember that we gave some funding to Morro Bay High School for their project, and currently we have a balance of approximately $88,000 in that account. We receive approximately $8,000 every quarter from Charter. And then lastly, I just wanted to be clear that on September 28th, we brought forward to you a notification system for the specifically for city projects that warrant an EIR, and we're in this case talking about the wastewater treatment plant project, and we talked about a courtesy email. And so we will.
A few months, about a year ago, we had a proposal where these folks asked for assistance from the Affordable Housing in Lieu Fund, and at that time we didn't have a fee in place, and actually the council funded that request. And when we delivered that staff report, we presented the idea of collecting a fee as a deterrent to, if you will, frivolous requests for assistance, because there is a fairly good amount of staff time that went into that with financial analysis and going through the real estate pro forma. This hasn't been a big problem for the city, so for better or worse, we haven't gotten many requests for affordable housing assistance. We're just kind of following back up with the council to see if you're interested in instituting the fee. So if you have any questions, be happy to answer them.
Okay, questions? Anybody? Nope. Comments?
Well, I guess the whole thing behind this is you get a lot of projects that aren't really realistic, and it takes a lot of staff time to do these things. Not that you get a lot of them. No, I understand people aren't beating down the doors for affordable housing projects at this point, but I guess if things were to improve and the economy picked up and some building went on, it's something that could be abused, and this is just kind of ensuring that it isn't.
That's right.
And the fee goes back to the applicant if the award is granted.
Right. If they're funded, we'd write a check or get credited the assistance, whatever, at their choice. But it would only cost them if it was something the council didn't want to do and didn't make financial sense for the council.
I guess that's my only comment, is that we're really clear that they would be reimbursed or credited that fee. Just so this isn't viewed by someone that just glances at it as a disincentive to consider.
No, I think it's kind of a protection, if you will, to say, well, we're going to give it some, you know, our due diligence and fair analysis, and we'll go through the steps and get that to you to consider.
Okay. I move approval of the motion in D2.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right. Item D3, potential topics for the Joint Planning Commission City Council meeting. Bruce, did you have anything to say first?
Well, Madam Mayor, the council, I thought originally the council had targeted the November 30th date for their second Joint Planning Commission City Council meeting. So, and there was a little confusion about attendance at that meeting, so we thought it'd be better to just discuss what the topics were. Apparently in the past there was some indication that the council was interested in a workshop on the California Environmental Quality Act. We're certainly prepared to do that. There are a number of other topics. And also, the Planning Commission was also interested in looking at some other topics. Although we haven't placed that on their agenda, it will be on their next Planning Commission agenda. So anything that you give us now, we'll forward out on the Planning Commission and schedule whatever meeting works for you.
Okay, and you had mentioned that you could do a whole presentation on the CEQA that would take several hours to cover the ground completely.
Yeah, I think a solid hour and a half would get through it.
Okay, and then questions and all of that. Because I'd looked at, with your problem being out of town and all of that, I'd looked at, you know, could we do this in advance of some Planning Commission meetings? And I asked if your agendas were fairly light if we were to go with the Planning Commission from, say, 6 to 8, and then they did their... But it also moves back public hearings, and I don't know if we can do that.
If Mr. Smuckler is going to be out of town, he can watch the workshop on DVD.
Okay.
Well, I'm not in favor of moving the meeting time.
We try when it's an issue like this, especially a joint meeting. I like to have everybody here if we can work it. Because it's only fair, because there's going to be interaction with the Planning Commission as well, and I think that that's something that all of us benefit from and all of them benefit from. So it would mean we wouldn't have his input. I would like to, if we can.
My guess is it's his choice not to be here, and he's actually probably going to be on vacation.
Vacation and work.
Okay.
Same thing.
I mean, we all have lives.
I understand, but the stage was set.
What I was noticing with our scheduling there, we made that, and it is in the. We made that several months ago. It happens to be in the middle of our council recess for that month. And I would appreciate to be able to attend, but if the council isn't willing to adjust that timing of that meeting, then I guess I wouldn't. And I'd ask the rest of the committee on the visioning, downtown visioning report to represent me.
Are the planning commissioners all available on the 30th?
I believe so. We scheduled this quite a while ago, and I made the announcement. Now, I haven't checked for confirmation. They know that we were targeting it, and they know that at our last meeting we told them that we would that this was a potential topic, and then that we got a little trouble scheduling the meeting. So I'm expecting them to be there.
Okay. How's the rest of the council feel?
We actually scheduled this at the beginning of the year. It was one of the two months that had five Mondays, mm-hmm. So it's been on our docket all year.
Actually, I had scheduled it this month, but
all year because we had five Mondays. So
I had it potentially on the second. Oh well, anyway.
I'll go along ahead. With what the majority wants to do on this.
See, I think because it's more of a workshop type of thing, it's less interactive with the Planning Commission. It's more of a learning situation. I don't think it's that dire that Mr. Smuckler miss it because he can't pick it up on the DVD.
Okay.
Is that all you would be doing then? Is that CEQA workshop, or were there other items you were going to discuss with that?
Well, the other things that
commission meeting.
Yeah, it'd be our joint meeting.
But what
it would be
that?
Our joint meeting with the Planning Commission? Fix that they would like to add to that agenda?
Well, I think the hour to hour and a half workshop on the CEQA process, I could sure benefit from it, and I'm sure a lot of the other folks could. I think we need to articulate the work program, but we also need to keep in the back of our mind that if Coastal Commission comes back with any of these things that we're waiting on, we're going to be at a very crucial, critical time to get things done. We're going to have the seven mandatory elements about land use and open space and eco-development and circulation, traffic, safety, all these things. The general plan and the LPC that were sent to Coastal were from 1988 to 1983. So we're talking, 30 years. So what Bruce did was combine those two things and update it somewhat, and that's what was submitted. So, but these things are going to be coming back to us, and when they do, we're going to be inundated. And I think we need to do whatever we can to prepare for that, and what are we going to do when we get those things back from Coastal Commission? Are we going to hire a facilitator to form a visioning so we can match what they say to reality? So there's going to be some things happening that we don't have in our lap yet, but they're coming. And so I think we should probably keep that in the back of our mind when we're trying to decide what we're going to be talking about.
Okay. Did you have any specific topics that you wanted to suggest?
Well, the CEQA is something I really need. And then, this is a big work program we've got here. I think we need to go through this and articulate what we're talking about here. And get ready for the response from Coastal.
Okay. Betty, any specific topics?
For me, a workshop on CEQA is probably sufficient. I would assume at least an hour and a half for that. Mm-hmm. And then to try to address any other issues, just wouldn't have enough time. I think we'll be pretty soaked up with that one topic, unless there's something that the Planning Commission feels is imminent that they want to discuss.
All right. Carla?
I agree. I'm fine with CEQA unless there's something else the Planning Commission wants to bring.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just request that we have 10 minutes to talk about the downtown visioning.
Well, we can
have
more than 10 minutes. We'll talk about downtown visioning. That's one of the topics we're going to put on the agenda.
So. Yeah, it'll basically be a quick report about our actions to date and a couple of requests for input from the council and the Planning Commission about future action.
Okay. So it looks like CEQA and downtown visioning, unless Planning Commission comes up with other things that they want to get input from us on.
Good.
Okay. All right, that's that one. And we are actually going to go back to a closed session. We did not finish our closed session, so we'll be moving on.
Would you like declarations of future agenda?
I'm sorry, future agenda. Yes.
The discussion about Dial-A-Ride and slow-car transit, I think I would like an update on where we are with that, what's happening, what do we have the potential of losing, how we're going to address that. I think we also are beginning our trolley numbers back, so I don't know if that's a topic that can come up at the next meeting or not, or where that falls.
We can put on the agenda planning guide. November 9th meeting is pretty hefty. I know your transit issues are a little bit fluid at this point, so the presentation we bring to you about Dial-A-Ride funding and such will be a little bit fluid, but probably slate that for 1st of December.
Okay. And then I'd like to have that housing item that's already on the agenda about not allowing money to be spent on documents out of the housing in lieu fund. When
on
will that
studies?
Be coming up?
Not having money spent on studies?
Yes. It's already on there, and when's that going to come up?
I think we're talking about that in the next few meetings. I'm looking at Bruce because I think this is housing in lieu and spending that on the discussion of spending that on studies.
No, it's a fairly light agenda report from staff. It's more when it fits into the agenda. We know November is going to be a pretty lengthy one already.
So December?
If that one's...
Well, are we spending any of that money currently on our current housing element? No.
Oh, excuse me. I don't think we are. I would need to confirm that, but I think we had a little bit of money tucked away because we are collecting a general plan maintenance fee, which is 5% of the building permit, and I believe there was enough money in there to pay for the housing element. But we'll certainly look into it. I'm not absolutely certain, but I thought we had some money in that general plan maintenance fee, and that's the kind of thing that the money's there for. I'm just just don't remember, but we'll find out.
And if we don't bring that in December, we'll bring it in January. Any other topics? Go and supply the information if and when it comes about. And I think I'm sure that I'm correct in that we have provided in the Friday update some snippets of information from Ms. Burlingame about funding and transit funding, which we'll continue to do. Okay. Carla, do you have something?
I just wanted to know from Ms. Looker. I asked the finance director, are we going to be getting a quarterly report next month, care to date?
Who's on the tentative?
Thank you.
All right. With that, we are adjourned with our public meeting. We will reconvene our closed session.